Welcome back to another episode of the Authors Unite Show. Here's your host, Tyler Wagner.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode. We got Ben Azadi. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, I'm pumped up to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Of course. Grateful to have you here. So before, first tell us a little bit more about you and what you do, and then we're going to snort some stuff.
We are. We'll get into that soon. But, well, Ben Azadi is my name, as you mentioned. I'm the founder of Keto Camp. Our mission at Keto Camp is to educate and to inspire 1 billion people. Wake them up. Let them know, hey, your body's a masterpiece because you're a piece of the master. And if you could remove the interference, the body will heal. And there's no pill, no surgery, no supplement that could replace what the body has innately, which is the innate intelligence. So we do that through YouTube, through podcasts, through books, which is very much up your alley. Mm-hmm. Just getting the information out there and just waking people up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I love your content. I'm actually a huge fan. I don't know if I've told you that.
Likewise, brother. Yeah. Thank you.
So first question I want to ask you is what inspired you to get into health? Like, was there a trigger when you were younger, or maybe you're 20, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what got you so interested in studying this? Because you definitely know a lot about health. So yeah, what was that kind of the trigger?
Well, growing up here, I was actually born and raised in Miami Beach, which is where we are right now. It's very rare to find a local.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's rare to find a local that has been here for that long because it's a very transient city. Mm. You're not a local, correct?
No, yeah. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Yeah. So my parents immigrated here from Iran in the 1970s. My mom and dad had an arranged marriage. They had almost a 40-year age difference, and they were arranged marriage in Iran. My dad got offered an opportunity to work here from an American doctor, so he brought my mom here. My sister was born, and then I was born in 1984. So I went to school here in Miami Beach. I went to high school in Beach High right here, and I was such an awful kid, dude. My parents worked. My mom and dad got divorced when they arrived here because it was an arranged marriage. So my mom pretty much raised me and my sister. She worked three jobs. She worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken, she worked at another Kentucky Fried Chicken, and she worked at Walgreens. Mm-hmm. She worked all day and all night, where I would wake up, she'd be gone at work, I'd go to bed, she still hasn't been home. So I was left to my own devices. I hung out with the wrong crowd, I hung out with gangs, I sold drugs, I did drugs, I was addicted to video games. I was actually one of the top video game players in the world in Call of Duty and Madden. I was winning tournaments, I was going beast mode online, but
sounds like a decent life, honestly. Just high all the time, playing video games, and you're winning.
It sounds like a good idea, but it really wasn't. Okay. So I was actually obese for most of my life. Mm. I was obese physically and mentally. I had low self-confidence, low self-esteem. I was bullied. I was picked on growing up. And I skipped school a lot, hung out in Lincoln Road and South Beach, actually South Point. Every day when we had early release, which was once a month, on a Thursday, all of my friends would skip and not even go to school because it was early release. We'd say, why even go to school? And we'd go to the South Point Pier and jump off the pier. That was our routine.
Oh, really?
Every month we would do that, yeah. And then it got closed off and somebody got hurt.
I was like, I haven't seen anybody.
Yeah,
they don't
let you do it anymore. Okay. They changed it. That was when I was in high school. But then this mindset of being just mentally bankrupt and physically obese transferred into my adulthood. So I found myself back in 2008 now, being a college dropout, being 24 years old, weighing 250 pounds. My girlfriend at the time just broke up with me, so now she was considered my ex-girlfriend, and I was just depleted by her leaving me. I didn't have the mental strength to deal with it, and I was depressed. As a matter of fact, it was worse than being depressed. I was so tired of hurting and crying every single day that I would go on the internet and look for ways to just kill myself. Mm-hmm. Several times I would go on the internet, what's the fastest way to kill yourself, how do you kill yourself without pain? And then every time I did that, I would think about my mom and the devastation that I would leave behind for her. So it stopped me because I love my mom. She's done so much for me, and she's my hero. So it didn't allow me to do that, thank God, and I knew I had to get my act together. So this is the point in my life where books, right up your alley, entered my life. A friend handed me a book, and they said, read this. This might help you out. And it was The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, which talked about, small changes, the compound effect, every single day, that compound over time. So I started to make small changes to my health. I started to actually take care of my health. And then I started to read books from other great people like Wayne Dyer and Bob Proctor and Tony Robbins and Earl Nightingale. And I just, it opened up this whole new world to me. And for the first time in my life, Tyler, I felt responsible. And I actually said those words out loud. I said, I am responsible. I am no longer going to be the victim of my past, and I'm going to only be the victor of my future. And I took responsibility over my circumstances, and I stopped blaming my parents. I stopped blaming my friends, my enabling family members. I stopped blaming anybody except for myself. And then I started to focus on my health. And 9 months from that moment of taking responsibility, I went from 250 pounds to 170 pounds. I went from 34% body fat down to 6% body fat, size 38 waist to size 30. So finally carved out a physical six pack. I always dreamed about that, but the most important thing I carved out was a mental six pack. I started to change my thoughts, and when I changed my thoughts, I changed my life. So that's what got me started in the health space. I became a personal trainer. I opened up a CrossFit gym here in Miami. I sold the CrossFit gym in Miami, a health coach, started working with other people, and now I've written 3 books, going on 4 now, and that's kind of fast forwarding to today.
Wow. Yeah. So, Kentucky Fried Chicken, obviously not the healthiest thing, but she was just working there. So, was it like unhealthy eating habits? Like, obviously, you got up to 250 pounds.
Yeah.
So, like, was your mom and dad also similar? To that? Okay.
Yeah. So,
it was a family thing.
Yeah, yeah. And my mom would bring home Kentucky Fried Chicken leftovers. And I would eat it every single night, right?
Yeah.
And I loved it, the taste of it, but my health was declining. Mm-hmm. So my dad had type 2 diabetes, which is a very common disease in the US. 60% of Americans are diabetic or pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. 3 out of 4 of Americans are either obese or overweight.
Wow, I didn't know. Okay, yeah, that's high.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
1 out of 3 women are diagnosed with cancer within their lifetime. 1 out of 2 men are diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime.
And 50%.
50%. And here's another crazy stat. It's predicted by the year 2032 that 1 in 2 children will be born on the autism spectrum. Okay? Yeah. Can you imagine if that's the case? How could we even function as a society if 1 in 2 children are being born on the autism spectrum? Because either you're going to be autistic or taking care of somebody who's autistic. So we're not going to be able to have the police force. We're not going to be able to have any kind of functioning society when this is what's happening, right? I don't believe that's going to be the case because I'm determined to put a dent in it. But the reason I'm sharing this is because my dad felt was a victim of that, because he came here and ate a stupid American diet, American diet, and he developed type 2 diabetes, which is a lifestyle disease. So I didn't understand the disease growing up. I remember when I was an adult, I would drive him to his doctor's appointment. They would refill his medication, give him insulin, tell me to go to Publix and buy these groceries, make sure he eats this, not that. So I followed everything conventional medicine told me to do. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward to the year 2012, I get a phone call from my dad, and he lets me know that he was having such a bad diabetic neuropathy, which is very common in diabetes, where the nerves of your feet, there's no blood flow. So there's this extreme pain. And he always had it for years, but this time was the worst. You couldn't even walk to the bathroom. He said, I can't even go to the bathroom, to use the bathroom. So me and my mom picked him up, and we took him to Mount Sinai Medical Hospital here on 41st Street, which is where I was born, by the way. And then we admitted him to the hospital, and he was so worried about getting his feet amputated, because that's the next step.
It's, oh, wow.
Because they don't want it, the foot will go gangrene, and then an infection will spread. So they cut off the foot to prevent the infection from spreading. Very common in diabetes. And as it gets worse, that's what would have happened to my dad. And he knew that. So in the hospital, the same night that he was in the hospital, he suffered a massive stroke, which left him paralyzed, and he lost the ability to even speak a word.
Oh my God.
So this is when his health just really started to decline rapidly. They transferred him to a hospice. It's really interesting because this conversation is taking place. The hospice was 5 blocks that way, right here on First Street, where my dad was, where I would go visit him every week at the hospice right here down the street. And every time I visited him, his body was shrinking before my eyes. And this is a whole 9-month ordeal, visiting my dad like this. And I remember it was August 2014, where I went to go visit him at this hospice right here. And he was in the worst shape ever, throwing up on himself, convulsing. And they cleaned him up that night, the nurses did. And I remember just looking at him so hopeless and just wanting his suffering to end. So I walked up to him and I looked at him in the eyes and I told him how much I loved him. I gave him a kiss on the forehead. And I said the words to him, hasta la vista, baby, from the movie Terminator.
Yeah.
He used to always say that to me when he would say goodbye. I said it to him that night. I told him how much I loved him. I went home that night and I prayed that night the same prayer that I said every night, which was, please, God, just end my father's suffering. He suffered enough. And I've said it over and over and over. But there was something different about this time saying that prayer. There was an energy. There was a feeling that somebody was listening to me. So I went to bed. And then the next day, literally less than 24 hours later, I get a phone call from this hospice right here, and I see it, and my heart just sinks because I knew something was up looking at the caller ID. So I pick it up, and then it's just the nurse letting me know that my father, he stopped breathing that morning, and he had passed on. Mm-hmm. And that moment was really surreal because a part of me was just like, thank God my dad is no longer in pain. I no longer have to see him like that. He's in peace now. And then the other part of me was, you know, why did I have to lose my dad? Mm-hmm. Why did he suffer like that when I did everything conventional doctors told me to do? So it took me on this journey of teaching health from being a hobby to a purpose, to really looking at the research, the literature, and reading books and diving deep into what's going on in America. And I have come to the conclusion that the information that I share in my books that I'm about to share right here in your podcast, it's the same information that would have saved my dad's life. I know that to be true to the core of my body, but I also know that I was given that mountain so I could show the world that this mountain can be moved. If you're dealing with diabetes, if you're dealing with cancer, if you're dealing with whatever symptom, those are all symptoms, they're not actually the problem. They are a result of the problem. And Einstein said it best, intellectuals solve problems, geniuses prevent them. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to empower people to be geniuses and know that, hey, for every effect, there is a cause, but conventional wisdom fails to acknowledge cause and effect. They're just treating effect. That's what they did with my dad, and I lost my dad as a result. So my drive and my purpose, the reason I'm so consistent and productive and I get so much content out there is because that's what's driving me, is to get this information to 1 billion people.
Yeah. So there's a lot of questions that are coming up. So first one, just so I know, was the diabetes like the cause of the heart attack? Like, is that, or did that lead to the cause of the heart attack?
Yeah, because nobody dies from diabetes. They die from the degeneration of it, from the strokes, the heart attacks, the kidney failure. So, yeah, exactly. The diabetes was the cause of that, yeah.
Okay. And then you said one out of every two kids born with, like, what's the cause of that? Like, unhealthy parents? Or, what causes somebody being born with autism?
Well, it's multifactorial, just like cancer.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's the parents, it's the toxins, it's everything. It's everything out there. 80% of the food sold in America is processed food. That's a recent stat, 80%. So, yeah. And it's being fed to kids, being fed to parents. And when parents are unhealthy and they have kids, they pass on a lot of things to their kids. You know, mm-hmm. They pass on toxins to their kids. So it's a result of many, many factors.
How far off is the food pyramid from being?
Oh yeah,
that's just what came to my mind. Like, so, like, what we, I remember growing up, the biggest thing in our household was like milk.
Yeah.
Like, so it was like, and I still actually don't know if it's good or bad ultimately, but we drink oat milk now. We just like it.
Yeah.
But like, no, we would always drink too.
But like, tastes good.
Yeah, vanilla oat milk, it's good. But like 2% milk, like we would go through a gallon every 2-3 days, like me, him, and my dad.
Yeah.
So either way, question, like,
food pyramid.
Yeah, how far off is a healthy diet from that?
Got it, yeah. So you guys ever watch Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know George Costanza?
Yeah.
So there was an episode on Seinfeld where George Costanza, if you haven't heard of George Costanza in Seinfeld, he was a very popular character in the show. Seinfeld was a sitcom in the 90s. There was an episode where George Costanza, he was miserable. He had poor relationships, he was broke, he was unhappy, and he decided to do everything opposite of what he had been taught on this episode,
right?
So he would, I used to always order a chicken salad, I'm gonna get a sandwich, right? And then he would go up to a girl sitting at the restaurant and say, hey, my name is George Costanza, I'm broke, live with my mom, nice to meet you. And she'd be like, oh, sit next to me, right? So everything started to improve when he started to do everything opposite of what he had been taught. So food pyramid, government guidelines, article headlines, everything that the mainstream media is talking about. If we do the exact opposite, the George Costanza effect, we're going to be going down the right direction. Because when we follow the masses, the M is usually silent, And when we follow the sheep, we're going to end up stepping in shit. So food pyramid is shit. And if we could do the opposite of what it teaches us, we're going to be going down the right direction.
That is beautiful. I want to take a moment of silence for that. That is awesome. Yeah, that was so then, okay, so the what is the opposite? What does the opposite of that look like? Like what? Yeah, I guess.
You want to do some of this?
Let's do that. And then we'll get
to answer your question. So shout out to my colleague, Dr. John LaRance, who I interviewed on the Keto Camp podcast, who developed this. It's called Meditation Mist Zen CBD, right? So what this, we're going to do this, and I'm going to answer your question, I promise. This has CBD oil, oxytocin, it has Amazonian herb, and it has some essential oils. And what it's going to do for us is it's going to burn, might make you cough, hopefully you have some water nearby just in case, because it's going to give you like a burn here, and you're going to have to blow your nose probably. But then after that, you have this afterglow, that's why it's called Zen, and it activates your vagal tone, which is your rest and digest, your parasympathetic nervous system. And then it's a nootropic, so it helps your brain fire on all cylinders. So how you do it is you just put it in your nostril, and you do two pumps in each nostril. As you take, as you do the pump, you take a deep breath. So I'm going to show you how to do it, and then you do it. And out burns. I'm used to it, so it's probably going to be tougher on you.
All right. So it's two pumps, then breathe in, and then gotcha.
Breathe in as you do it.
Oh, man. I'm not used to that.
I know.
All right, the other one?
Yeah, other one. There you go. Just relax, let it go, let it sit.
Woo! All right.
Get some water if you need to.
Oh, yeah.
That's a heavy one.
Yeah.
After glue.
You guys still want to do it?
I'll do it. Yeah. I'm going to record it, though.
Wow.
Now you feel that relaxation afterwards, yeah. There you go.
Woo, that's nice.
To some people, it makes them sneeze, too. I love that he's recording himself, too. That's so good.
Wow. This is great. Here's more paper towels for you guys.
Yeah, it's going to make your nose run.
Ronnie, are you going to try? Oh,
yeah. We have some people right now thinking, what are these guys doing, man? We have some people freaking out
right
now.
This is what you call a super spreader event.
this could be a good definition.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's so good. I love when people do it for the first time. You want to try it, too? No, okay, that's a no for you.
I'll try it in the privacy of my home.
We'll get your bottle. We'll get you guys a bottle. Who else did it? Did you do it too?
No, I'm scared.
You too?
No.
I get it.
All right, so I'm still recovering.
I'll answer the question for you. Yeah, recovering. So
I'm gonna be out.
What is the optimal diet? Yeah. Just breathe. Yeah. I messed you up, dude.
No, it's good.
There's not one diet for us all. And that's, my company's called Keto Camp. That might be a surprise, right? Because people might think, isn't keto the best diet? Everybody's so different. But here's what I do know. I want to explain this in a way for your audience to really understand how the body works. And if you can understand how the body works, then you're going to understand which foods to eat, which foods to stay away from. And then I'm going to blow your mind on the worst foods out there that are even worse than cigarettes, okay? So first, when we look at the human body, the body is composed, and I'm looking at your eyes water. The body is composed of 70 trillion cells, okay? Think of cells as these little circles, right? They have a function. They have something in it called the mitochondria, which helps produce ATP. So it's just the battery pack of your cells. Some cells have thousands of mitochondria. So think about that. 70 trillion cells, and one cell could have thousands of mitochondria, right? We know that out of the 70 trillion cells in the body, the cells could only choose two sources of energy. Either we're burning sugar in the form of glucose, same thing. When I say glucose, it's sugar, it's interchangeable. Or the cells could burn fat and produce ketones. When the cells are burning sugar, it's a very dirty fuel source to our cells. The stats that I gave you about cancer, about obesity and diabetes, those people are sugar burners. When I was obese, I was a sugar burner, okay? I compare burning sugar to, think of like a Mack truck that is speeding through I-95 here, you know, going through traffic, hitting cars, all the smoke coming out of the exhaust pipe, not going to be good for the environment, right? That's what's happening when your cells are burning sugar. It creates a lot of cellular smoke. It's not healthy for your cellular environment. It's aging you faster, leading to disease, leading to weight gain, I mean, a whole host of symptoms. When we could teach the body and the cells to switch to burning fat and producing ketones, that's like a Tesla cruising through Miami Beach here on Ocean Drive. No smoke coming out of the exhaust pipe, much cleaner for its surrounding environment, much cleaner for your cellular environment. So what we want to do is teach the body to burn fat. But here's what I teach that's very different than a lot of keto educators out there. I don't think we should burn fat and only fat. I think we should have the metabolic flexibility to go back and forth, but most of the time burn fat because there's benefits to doing that. So keto, number one search term on Dr. Google. People go on there, what is a keto diet? You get over 100 million results. But keto is not a diet. That's a secret for your audience to hear. Keto is a metabolic process, ketosis, and it's been around since humans have existed. Every single one of our ancestors did keto because their environment forced them into ketosis. When they don't eat, their body has to burn its own body fat and produce ketones. But we know this, when you're burning ketones, if you're an entrepreneur, which your audience is, your brain prefers fat because it's 70 to 80% made up of fat. And every cell has a lipid bilayer around it that's made up of fat. The cells are made up of protein, saturated fat, and cholesterol. The majority of the body is made up of fat. A large chunk, I should say, of the body is made up of fat. Guess what percentage, I want you to guess, I want you guys to guess, what percentage of the body is made up of carbohydrates?
wow, this will be a shot in the dark. And I'm high as fuck.
I feel it mainly in my head. Yeah, I feel good.
You feel good, huh?
Now I feel good.
Yeah, now you feel good after the burn.
Yeah. It's a strong hit.
You do it consistently, the burn's less and the good is more.
So I'll get 30%.
30%? What do you think?
I was going to say 20.
What about you guys? What do you think?
Fuck.
What percentage of the body?
It's been so long since someone's asked me this.
Just guess. It's fine if you're wrong.
It's like 30% if I'm correct.
30%? What about you?
30% too.
What about you?
I'm going to say 10%.
10%. You're the closest. It's actually less than 1%.
Wow. I was between 20 and 2. I was.
20 and 2?
Yeah.
Less than 1%, right? So here's what happens. When a baby is born into this world, if a baby is breastfed, breast milk has saturated fat and cholesterol, and that baby is actually in and out of ketosis because it helps the development of that baby's brain, which is mostly fat. But then the baby is weaned off of breast milk. It's fed this sugar instant formula. It's given a standard American diet. It eats every 2 to 3 hours. And now we taught this baby that is a natural fat burner because burning fat is our primal birthright. And we teach this baby and this body to now be a sugar burner, which leads to problems, that Mack truck that I talked about, right? So what we want to do is burn fat. We want to teach the body to go into ketosis and then start flexing out. So the name of my new book coming out, it's called Keto Flex. And that's this entire process. It's being disciplined short term, teaching the body to burn fat. Then you have built up this metabolic machinery. Now your body can start flexing in and out of ketosis. And that's how we thrive and live way past 120 years old, disease-free, doing jumping jacks with our great grandkids. So there is no one diet that fits us all, but everybody could benefit from going in and out of ketosis.
Okay. Still there a little bit. That's awesome. So how old do you think we can live to?
At least 120. I believe we were designed to live to 120.
120?
As an average, right? So, you know, when somebody tells me they're 65 and they're old, they're getting towards the end of their life, I'm like, what are you talking about? You're not at the halfway point. So if you do things right, you know, but here's the deal. We got to take less hits. Right? You watch sports? Mm-hmm. You guys watch sports? What do the greatest athletes in the world have in common? Like Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Dwayne Wade, the late and great Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady, they have one thing in common. And that is towards the second half of their career, they all do something similar. They take less hits. So for example, what did Dwayne Wade do? He stopped driving to the basket as much. He became more of a jump shooter. It extended many, many years on his career. Kobe did the same thing. LeBron's doing it now. Tom Brady sits in that pocket. He's 40, I think, 2 years old. I mean, they're taking less hits. They have a longer career. What we need to do as a human being is to take less hits. When we're eating, when we're a sugar burner, we're taking hits. When we're eating every 2 to 3 hours, if you want to age faster than anybody you know, eat every 2 to 3 hours. You're going to develop disease much, much faster.
Dude, that's what's so crazy. I remember being younger, and like that was taught to us to eat every 2 to 3 hours. And I think the reason was because it keeps your metabolism going.
Right. Yeah.
So if you take too long of a period, your metabolism stops. Or that was the theory, or whatever.
Yeah, the hypothesis.
Yeah, the hypothesis.
Not a fact.
So like I went through a period, I remember, where I would eat. I would make sure like every 3 hours, me I even too. Set an alarm. So it's the opposite, essentially.
It's like, the George Costanza effect. Yeah, me too, dude. When I was a personal trainer, I taught this to my clients, right? I did them a huge disservice now that I realize it. But when I came across science, I didn't back that up. And in fact, science showed the opposite. It's aging you faster. I mean, we eat food. Let's think about it, you know, physiologically and logically. We eat food. We store food as body fat, right? We don't eat food. We burn that body fat. That's the way that we evolved to be. We were hardwired that way. And I want to get into fasting and all that.
Yeah.
But before I do, speaking of keto, right? Most people who do keto, most people who teach keto, teach it and do it the wrong way. They teach what I call dirty keto. There are 8, maybe 9, maybe 10 specific fats on keto that are super toxic, worse than sugar. I interviewed a professor from MIT. His name is Brian Peskin. Interviewed him twice for my Keto Camp podcast. This guy is a master at looking at the science, looking at the cells, looking at what fats are doing. And I asked this guy, this Brian Peskin, hey, Brian, what is worse for you, smoking cigarettes every single day or eating these bad fats? And I'm going to give you a list of all 10 of them shortly. But he said, okay, Ben, let's look at the research. And he said, he asked me then, what do I think the percentage is? What are the chances of somebody developing lung cancer if they smoke 2 packs of cigarettes every single day for 28 years? What are their chances of developing lung cancer within those 28 years? What do you think the percentage is?
Oh man, 28 years, 2 packs a day?
2 packs a day.
30%.
30%?
I feel like it's higher, but.
Well, if they quit, their cells regenerate, right?
So but they don't quit. They're smoking it within those 28 years. What are their chances of getting cancer in those 28 years if they haven't quit?
5%. I'm going low. 5%.
So, I mean, it's somewhere in the middle. It's 16%.
Okay.
Which was lower than what I thought, right? Yeah, I would have guessed. Yeah. But then he asked me this. He goes, okay, let's compare that to somebody who eats these bad fats every single day for 28 years. What are their chances of developing any cancer and or heart disease in 28 years? What do you think the percentages are?
That I'm going 50.
50%?
Yeah, I'm up there now. 40%.
86%.
Whoa, oh my God.
So in this scenario, it makes these fats worse than smoking cigarettes. So everybody wants to know, what are these fats?
Yeah, that's
because, hey, they're in a lot of keto products. They're in a lot of keto foods. And yes, they're keto friendly. And I'm doing the air quotes if you're not watching me, but they're not healthy. They're not going to teach your body to reduce inflammation, which is key. So there are, here's the list. There are corn oil, canola oil, soybean oil, cottonseed oil, peanut oil, safflower oil, soybean oil, sunflower oil, rice bran oil, and there's probably another one that I can't remember right now. But these are very unstable fats that are everywhere. They're even in Whole Foods.
Dude, yeah, when you listed those, they're in everything.
Everything, dude. And that's they're crazy. Because the cells cannot burn these. The body cannot burn these rancid fats. They're very unstable, and they sit on our receptor sites, which are on our cells, and they create inflammation for on average 132 days. Your body can't get rid of them for 132 days, meaning a plate of French fries fried in canola oil will result in 5 months of cellular inflammation. 5 minutes of pleasure, 5 months of dysfunction. So we want to switch to healthier, stable fats. Avocado oil, great. Coconut oil, butter, ghee, even lard, duck fat. These are much stable. Olive oil, much, much stable. Even almond oil, much better fats. So that right, making that switch right there on keto makes a big difference.
Yeah, dude, I'm thinking like the stuff that we buy. You see that sunflower oil. I know canola oil is probably the most commonly used.
Soybean and canola are.
Yeah.
Now, sunflower oil could be good if it's organic, cold processed. So you got to just make sure it's that. But
gotcha.
What
are the chances it is?
It's rare.
Yeah.
Some companies do it, but it's rare. Yeah.
Okay.
It's very uncommon.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess where do you shop? to find, like, is Whole Foods a good option?
Yeah,
you just have to kind of do a little research.
You have to just look at the ingredients. Don't look at the label, because these marketing companies, they pay a lot of money to scientists and to manipulate the labels and marketing companies. But yeah, just look at the ingredients.
Okay.
I shop at Whole Foods. I shop Thrive Market. I use
I know Thrive Market.
Yeah, and I even Publix could have these items, which is, if you don't know what Publix is, it's a natural, it's a regular grocery store here in Florida, Southeastern.
So how do you get into ketosis?
You can get into ketosis. The best way to get into ketosis is to lower your carbohydrates below 50 grams total for the day.
Oh, okay. That's
and,
it. So
and,
it's
and
not.
Just eat more fat and protein.
You don't have to fast to get into ketosis.
You can, but.
It's one way.
But the way I teach it, I have a 4-pillar approach, is first do this and then add fasting afterwards. Because if you don't have the flexibility, it could be tough, like your workout.
Yeah, I was doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like less than 50 grams of carbohydrates would not be too hard, at least for me. I don't know.
They're sneaky. They add up, right?
Okay.
You could use always an app to kind of figure out what you're getting, but it's not too difficult once you have the awareness of what you're eating and how much macros it contains.
Okay, gotcha. So for the fasting, what do you recommend? Oh yeah, and we got to talk about the guy with the water with the longest.
Yeah.
Tell us that real quick, because I don't want to forget
that's crazy. Fasting is my favorite tool in the shed, right? And a lot of people think it's crazy that you're going to go into the starvation mode, you're going to hurt the body. There's a lot of myths out there.
Yeah.
But to put things in perspective, and I'm going to ask you guys the question. Do you know the answer already? Or no, you forgot?
I forgot the time, but I know it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It seems not accurate.
So I'll ask you. Yeah, so what do you think the Guinness World Record is for the longest recorded fast? Meaning this person just had water and just water.
Like 2 months.
2 months. What do you think?
Just water. 2-3 weeks.
2-3 weeks. What about you?
2 months too.
2 months. You?
I'm gonna go. Maybe, I think it might have been Bobby Sand in Ireland, or maybe Gandhi. Maybe 60 days.
60 days. So, the answer is 382 days.
Oh no.
He was from Scotland, so almost close to Ireland, and he was morbidly obese, so he had a lot of fuel to burn. 450 pounds at the start of it. He went on a medically supervised water-only fast for 382 days, where he just had water and a multivitamin. He was medically supervised, and then on day 382, he went from 450 pounds on day one to 180 pounds. Blood work looked good, electrolytes looked good. And he felt good. But this is an extreme example to show you that the body knows what to do. You have fat, you're going to burn that fat. He had a lot of fat to burn. I would argue this, Tyler. He didn't put food in his mouth. He didn't physically eat. But he was eating. He was eating his own body fat. Right? Mm-hmm. We're designed. Every cell is designed for feast-famine cycles. But we are blessed to live in America and have food readily available to us. I mean, I could go on my phone right now and hit the Uber Eats button, and then we'll have a millennial knocking on this door right here in 45 minutes for food, right? So we have to mimic our ancestors, because our cells are designed for the old school, not for the new school. So when we practice fasting, it goes back to our ancestral roots, and it downregulates inflammation. And my favorite benefit of fasting is a process called autophagy. Have you ever heard of that process? So autophagy is like cellular repair, cellular cleanup. So the analogy that I like to give to help people really understand what autophagy is, think of the kitchen downstairs. There's a refrigerator, right? You open up that fridge, and there's groceries in it that have an expiration date. Every grocery has an expiration date. What would happen if they let all those groceries in that refrigerator expire, but instead of throwing them to the trash, they just buy new groceries, bring it to that fridge, put it in front of the old expired groceries, and close that door? It's going to be nasty, right?
Yeah.
Mold, bacteria, disease will manifest. The body is like that refrigerator. We have 70 trillion cells that all have expiration dates on them, proteins that have expiration dates on them. But if we're not throwing out the trash, disease starts to manifest. But autophagy is the process of cleaning out the junk. And this process called autophagy is activated when you fast. It's activated with exercise as well. So your body is so stinking smart that it has this innate intelligence within it that it starts to look for the bad cells first and get rid of it. There's a world-renowned cancer doctor his name is Dr. Thomas Seyfried, and he wrote the book Cancer is a Metabolic Disease. Here's his quote. This is going to blow your mind. He said, if you were to complete a 7-day water-only fast once per year, you would reduce your chances of any cancer by 95%.
That is insane.
He's seen tumors in his patients literally shrink before his eyes when he puts them on a long fast because of this autophagy process.
So how do you, and the extreme example I'm curious about too, but even for 5 days or a week, like you did 5 days, what do you do leading up to that so that you can actually, and I know you won't die, right, but make it through without feeling like you're going to faint? Like I did the 24-hour one, and I felt like I was going to faint. So I'm sure there's some like buildup of activities that you do to make it yourself more likely to last.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you do want to know what you're doing. It's a tool just like a chainsaw could get the job done or hurt you. Same thing with fasting. So being keto adapted, first of all, and then practicing smaller fast and building up that fasting muscle. So doing 24 hours like you did, and then doing 32 and kind of working your way up and then breaking it the right way. So there is some things that go that are need to be considered.
Yeah.
So you got to know what you're doing. But the body is really adaptable. It's incredible. Okay. And anytime you force adaptation, good cells get stronger and bad cells don't adapt.
And when you said, I'm just curious if you know the multivitamin, like is that just, like what was the multivitamin or is it just like all these different?
I don't know what, if they disclosed exactly like the brand. It was in the 70s this guy did it.
Okay, gotcha.
But they just wanted him to get his vitamins and minerals. So you could do that. But he did a 382-day fast, right?
Yeah, and so, he had like 400 plus pounds.
And he had 400 plus pounds,
Do you
right?
think if he was like 180 pounds to start, he would have made it that long?
No.
No
he
way.
Not
yeah.
made it. He
okay.
Yeah, so there's a point of diminishing returns for sure.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
So too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because once your body's done eating the bad stuff, the expired groceries, it'll go for the good stuff. It'll weaken your immune system. It'll go and attack muscle. So there is a proper balance there for sure.
Okay. So let's talk about the C word a little bit. Cause I want
let's do it. Let's get shut down.
I want to do it. Yeah. All right. Thank you, YouTube. This was fun. first, let's just, what are your overall thoughts about what's going on right now with this COVID thing?
Yeah. Okay. So we could use the word COVID. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how far.
There's two C words. There's cancer, which we spoke about. There's a new C word, COVID.
Yeah.
Man, COVID, you know, it's a lot of misinformation,
okay.
A lot of confusion. Look, my premise is the body is strong. There's not a virus that could overtake the body if you have the right building blocks. So what I'm seeing out there is scary. What I'm seeing out there in the UK and Australia and in Canada with these major lockdowns right now, it's very, very scary. And we saw it in the U.S. Thankfully, we live in Florida, and our governor did a great job last month by opening everything back up. So I don't wear a mask. When I walked in here, I didn't wear a mask. I was ready for the front desk person to tell me where my mask is.
What did they do? What did they say?
He didn't say anything.
Oh,
but
really?
I was ready to have a conversation with him and say, do you want me to wear a mask because you think it helps or because, you know, it's what they tell me to do? But in Bay Harbor, you live in Bay Harbor. Look, Bay Harbor is super strict. Even with the governor opening things up, there are signs on every corner saying, if you want to walk around here, you got to wear a mask. Since August 1st, we're now a few months later, I've been stopped by cops walking my dog in Bay Harbor 17 times for not wearing a mask. I'm the only person in my neighborhood not wearing a mask. People cross the street like I have some sort of disease. I'm yet to wear a mask. I love the police, by the way. I have so much respect for them. So I have a conversation with them. I'm like, look, I study health. I know that these masks are useless. These masks do much more harm than good. I'm not going to wear a mask. And if they force the issue, then I say, oh, I have a medical note from my doctor that says I should not wear a mask, which I actually do. So I'll present that mask, and none of the cops have ever even asked me for that mask. They just go on with their way because I feel like they're being told to do that, but they don't actually really believe in it.
Yeah.
So the masks do much more harm than good.
What harm do they do?
Well, they're suppressing your breathing.
I'm in full agreement.
I know.
With you.
But
I want people to hear because I feel like a lot of people think the mask is just a harmless thing, like just do
no.
it.
No. Well, first
so,
of all,
so that's,
it's taming you for compliance, right?
Yeah,
first it's the mask, then it's here's the vaccine. You can't drive a car without a vaccine, and we've taught you to take the vaccine because you've been taking the mask on.
Yeah.
First of all, the fastest way to weaken your immune system is to raise cortisol, which is your stress hormone. When you wear a mask, you are raising cortisol. All right, I'm going to give you an example that Bruce Lipton shared on London Real. When there is a patient that is getting a kidney transplant who has a defective kidney, they're getting a kidney transplant, the doctor that is performing the surgery, before the surgery is done, they will inject that patient with stress hormones, so the patient's immune system could be wiped out and accept this foreign object, which is the new kidney. Mm-hmm. Because stress wipes out the immune system. When you put a mask on, you are wiping out your immune system. So you think you're doing something good or protecting yourself. Number one, you're not. It is creating a cortisol response. Secondly, it'll lead to some your lungs not be able to function properly. You're not getting the oxygen it needs. And it's just not fun to wear a damn mask. I mean, you can't unlock your iPhone with it.
Yeah, oh my God, I hate that.
No, but you know, but here, I respect anybody who wants to wear a mask. I never get on anybody's case if they say, you know, I want to wear a mask, I choose to wear a mask. If you told me, Tyler, that you wouldn't do this interview, if I walked in here and they said, you know, you got to wear a mask to get up here, I would do it out of respect.
Yeah.
Right? So I respect that. But when I have my choice, I will not wear it. So, yeah. You know, and I know it's going to piss a lot of people off. People are probably watching here and unfollow me, but that's where I stand. I mean, I'm blessed to be connected to the most brilliant scientists in the world. I'm not a disease expert, an infectious disease expert. This is the information from those who are experts, who've come on my podcast and shared this, right? I'm just relaying the information. There's not one study that could back up the effectiveness of a mask. I interviewed my mentor, Dr. Daniel Pompa, in Tampa a few months ago, and we went over the Lancet study. Lancet is a very prestigious article, and they compiled 17 different studies on the mask and showed that the effectiveness of the mask with social distancing was about 3% effective, which means it is not effective. So, you know, that's just where I stand.
Yeah, yeah, and that's really why I wanted to ask you the question, too, because you actually come at it from a medical, like, standpoint and from just, like, a health standpoint.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just think, to me, like, if you look at it, it would make sense that it would, you know, there's a blockade, right?
Yeah.
But also, at the same time, like, if you vape and you vape something, it goes right through. Yeah. So I'm like, if that goes through, then probably everything else does.
Totally.
I mean, after I snort that stuff, if I put this on and sneeze, it's fucking going through.
And you know what? It's teaching people to not take care of their nutrition and their health and to just mask it with a mask, right?
Yeah.
So when does the media talk about, okay, we should take some vitamin D, we should take some zinc, we should eat healthier foods? They're not talking about that. They're just saying, put a mask on. In social distance, close your business. So we're teaching the wrong message, and it's being taught to kids as well. I mean, kids are in school wearing masks. So the message is just backwards. It's the whole George Costanza effect.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, we, at our gym, we have to wear them in the gym. And, like, I'm a cardio guy, so I like to run. So on the treadmill, I will have I'll have it. Dude, I can imagine that would be actually unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, I just have it around my chin, and then when they walk in, I put it up. But if they stand around too long, like 5 minutes straight running at like 7 speed on a treadmill with that on your nose, and it's wet and sweaty.
Oh, yeah.
So you're breathing. Dude, that's not healthy.
No,
can't
it's
be.
Not.
And so, the A95 masks, people claim those work better.
What are your thoughts?
They do work better.
Oh, they work better?
Yeah, they work
better
than these particle ones, but they're still not that effective.
Okay.
You know, they're effective, more effective than the cloth one, but they're still causing that cortisol response. They're still causing that stress response in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have a negative component to it.
Got it. So, but and overall thoughts on like COVID-19 in itself, like, is it something that we should be worried about, or like, so should some people be worried about it? Like, what do you?
Yeah, think? Some people should be worried about, for sure.
Okay.
You know, if you're over the age of 70, if you're morbidly obese, if you have type 2 diabetes, those are the people that should social distance. Those are the people who should stay home. Those are the people who should really fix their nutrition and start taking some action there, right? But the majority of people, I mean, look at the death rate.
Yeah.
The death rate is very small. The cases are going up because there's more testing naturally.
Yeah,
you know, that's what's going to happen. But the death rates are plummeting, you know? So, again, I'm not an infectious disease expert.
For sure.
But viruses have been around since as long as humans have been around. Coronavirus, every single virus out there. I'm not personally scared of getting coronavirus. I might have had coronavirus. Many people are asymptomatic.
For sure.
So I am very much unselfish, and I am responsible because I take care of my health. So if I do get COVID, it doesn't do anything to wipe me out.
Definitely.
You know? And there's not even concrete research that shows if you are asymptomatic, can you spread it to somebody else? You know, there's some misinformation there too.
So do you know how do viruses, like this virus, will it ever be completely gone? Or is it now like this thing where, because it's a virus, will it live on for, like, it'll adapt and mutate and all that?
Oh, yeah.
I guess the question, do they ever fully die? I think I heard or read somewhere that viruses never actually 100% go away.
Ever. No, this current...
Like once it, yeah, sorry.
So Dr. Zach Bush, I interviewed on my podcast, said specific virus strains like this specific COVID will be around for about 2 years, and then it'll mutate to a different one. So on average, about 2 years, it'll stick around. You can't run from a virus.
Yeah.
If every single person put a mask on and social distance, it would have been the same thing with people getting infected. Viruses are going to spread no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's the way viruses roll. They've been around forever. So to think that we could get away from it, to think that a vaccine is much more powerful than being healthy, it's flawed thinking. My premise is completely different from that conventional wisdom. And I would never get a vaccine. I would never get a flu shot. I would never put something like that. I take care of my health. So if I do get a virus, my body deals with it. You know, that's the way the body is designed.
So if they try to do, because they're trying to do it in some cities right now. I think New York, I read an article. Oh, yeah, I think you said that.
Yeah.
That's scary.
They're going to mandate it that you have to get a vaccine.
Well, it depends on who the president's going to be.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But, so they're all going to do it. They're doing it in Canada and Australia and the UK.
But you would you just leave the area essentially, or what?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Because in order for them to mandate a vaccine, they would have to prove that this virus is so deadly that in order to save humankind and bypass the Constitution, we need to force this vaccination to people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're ever going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
Yeah, gotcha. So what can people do if they are worried about it? Because I've been hearing this, what is it, zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C. Like, what would you recommend to somebody that is worried about it to maybe ease their worry? Like, what can they do?
A lot of people, great question, because a lot of people are asking me, what do I take, Ben? You know, what do I do? It's really not a matter of what you should add on, but what you should remove.
Okay.
Right? So first of all, remove the news. Like, stop watching CNN. Which stands for constant negative news. CNN is the enemy of the people.
I agree.
They are all mainstream media, but CNN is the absolute worst. The first thing is to remove mainstream media, mm-hmm. especially CNN. Second thing is to remove sugar. You know, sugar wipes out the immune system. And when I say sugar, I mean carbohydrates, because even whole wheat bread will give, two slices of whole wheat bread will spike your glucose, your blood sugars, as much as a 12-ounce can of soda or a Snickers bar, because it turns into sugar in the body and it'll wipe out your immune system for the next 5 to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So stop eating the sugar, stop eating the carbs, eat more healthy fats and protein. Then you could add some zinc, some vitamin D. Vitamin D is the bodyguard against COVID-19. It sits at the door, and if you have adequate levels of vitamin D and low levels of blood sugars, it will not let COVID enter the cells. I interviewed a gentleman named Dr. Don Klum on my podcast, and he explained this so brilliantly, but those people who have high levels of sugar and high levels of insulin have low levels of vitamin D, and they're susceptible.
So
high glucose and insulin, low vitamin D, they have an inverted relationship. So we need to lower the glucose and the sugars and then increase the vitamin D, get more sun. Zinc is great. You know, all this is fantastic. I have my neighbor in Bay Harbor. Do you know Dorothy, the one who feeds the cats?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, know. Everybody
no
knows.
No way.
That. Yeah,
that's
crazy. Awesome. She's a legend.
How small is Bay Harbor?
It's really small. Okay. But everybody knows Dorothy because she's been in the island for almost 50 years. She's from Boston.
Yeah.
Every day at 6:30 p.m., she's at the corner of this abandoned building feeding these cats. So I walk my dog and I say, hi, Dorothy. I have a conversation with her. In the middle of the lockdowns, I was walking my dog, no mask, of course. And Dorothy, she starts waving me down, right? And I wanted to be cautious and respect that she's older, and I didn't want to go near her, but she kept calling me towards her, and she's like, I don't feel good. You know, she had this runny nose. I kept 10 feet away from her during the conversation, but she's like, I have a runny nose, and she's like, I don't feel good. I might go to the hospital. So I said, all right, Dorothy, yeah, if you want to go to the hospital, go to the hospital. I could call the ambulance for you if you want, but let me first go to my apartment and give you some things that I'm taking myself, and if you want to take this, it's an option for you to take, or you can go to the hospital. It's your call. So I gave her some zinc. I gave her something called AHCC, which is a mushroom. I gave her some vitamin D. I gave her some other supplements that I was already taking. And then the next day, 6:30 p.m., she's out there again. And she's like, I need to talk to you. She's waving me down. And she goes, what did you give me? And I'm like, oh shit, what did I give Dorothy? She's angry. Yeah. And I just gave you some supplements that I was taking, Dorothy. And she goes, I have never felt better in my life. She goes, my sinus infection went away. Doctors have been prescribing me antibiotics for years, and I never was able to get rid of the sinus infection. I feel almost 90% better. What did you give me? So I actually recorded her on video and played her on my podcast, because the supplements didn't heal Dorothy. The supplements gave her body the building blocks to deal with whatever she was dealing with, whether it was COVID or a flu, whatever she had. And Dorothy's still around to this day.
Yep.
She's 90 years old, dude. Wow. 90 years old. She was 89 at the time. Now she turned 90 recently. And then I gave her some bone broth. So, you know, that's just a perfect example of how incredible the human body is. So that's my premise. When I come from that premise, it's different than putting a mask on and taking a vaccine. My premise is that the body is amazing. We are masterpieces because we're pieces of the master.
Mm-hmm. So is vitamin, I'm just curious, you might know the percentage. Vitamin D, I think a lot of people are low on that, aren't they? And it's because, yeah. Like,
high sugars.
Yeah. Like, I mean, being in Miami, we're lucky, you know, sun year round. But like naturally.
Even in Miami, a lot of people in Miami have low vitamin D because they're sugar burners.
Oh, okay. So that actually, that negates it.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's crazy. So it's not directly just, it's not, it negates it.
It negates it. So even people taking high dose vitamin D, but they're eating sugar and pizza and carbs.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you too about some other things. So one is grounding. So because I remember I saw a video you put out, or maybe it was a story or something, just grounding. Like, and I don't think many people do it. Like, everybody's always wearing shoes. So what are the benefits of grounding, and how often do you do it?
Yeah. I love grounding. It's not spoken enough. Mm-hmm. So the earth is struck by lightning hundreds of thousands of times every second. So the earth is very electrical charge.
Mm-hmm.
So when we place our bare feet on the ground, whether it's on dirt, grass, or the sand here on the beach, what we get is this electrical discharge, because the body, we develop inflammation in the body, which leads to thick blood, not good. That leads to heart attacks and disease. And we are hit by EMFs, which are these electromagnetic frequencies, the Wi-Fi, the 5G. I mean, we can't get away from it. So it creates this charge. When we start walking barefoot on planet Earth, Earth is amazing. It literally pulls out this charge, makes the blood thinner, and it reduces inflammation. It's like taking a handful of antioxidants when you do this on a consistent basis. And most people are not getting any grounding. We're wearing sneakers with rubber soles. We're never walking on Earth barefoot. So just by doing that on a daily basis, it'd be profound, and it's very easy, and it's free, and it's available to anybody.
Any time frame that you recommend?
I interviewed a guy named Clint Ober.
Okay.
This guy's story was incredible. He was on the Ben Greenfield podcast as well.
Oh, sweet.
He was a very wealthy man back in the early 2000s. He had a business, and he got very sick. His liver started to dysfunction, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor said he had about 6 months left to live to get his affairs in order. And he had extreme liver damage. I forget what percentage of, but it was a percentage of his liver that was gone, right? And the liver is very important. So he, at this time, started to do some grounding. He actually started to take off his shoes, lived on a farm, and grounded every single day, all day. His liver regenerated 100%, and he's alive to this day, many, many years later, to share the story. So he came out with a documentary called Earthing. He came out with products to help you earth and ground while you're at your desk. So I have like a grounding mat, a grounding sheet. What was the question? I lost the question that he said.
The time frame.
Yeah. So he said that if he did about a minimum of 30 minutes twice per day, you would get good benefits. The more you do it, the better though.
So how, I'm curious on his story, like how did his liver, like was it from drinking, or like how did his liver remove, I guess, like 90% of his liver was gone?
No, I don't think it was 90%. It was a percentage. A good percentage.
Or how can that happen, even if it's not his particular
story? It could happen from alcohol. It could happen from eating a lot of sugar. It could happen from toxins. It could happen from a lot of things.
And it just breaks down?
Yeah.
Like, literally? And then, I guess, what, you, like, shit it out? Or, like, how does it work? Like, that is a serious question.
You shit it out.
No, I mean,
that's
like,
a good question.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, because it's like an organ, right?
Yeah.
So like, how does it get out, I guess, is my question.
Yeah.
Or it just
I
dies.
Actually don't know the answer. How it gets out of the body. How does
first,
it get
first
out of the
time
body?
First time you've been asked that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't actually think that that's what you did, but like, I guess maybe it just died from the damage. It dies off.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, yeah. It was eating itself. It was dying off.
Eating itself. Yeah. That's probably okay. That makes sense then.
So, but that's it regenerated 100%. Right. And the doctors, you know, when doctors say to patients that you have a terminal illness, they are doing their patient a huge disservice. So instead of saying that the person has a terminal illness, they should say my ability to help you is terminal. Right. Mm-hmm. Because why would you play God? I mean, that has such a negative effect on people. It's called the nocebo effect instead of the placebo effect. So how dare they? You know, many people could overcome that. And this guy did, not just with the grounding, but with his thoughts. He changed his nutrition, and he's around many, many years later to share that story. Yeah.
So can you share a few more stories? Because I know you work with, you know, you have a lot of clients in your keto camp, and I know you do other things as well. But, like, of just transformational stories where somebody came to you, maybe they had diabetes. Or no, I saw that on one of your stories, actually. Somebody came to you, had, like, diabetes, I don't know which type, and then after working with you, they literally didn't have it anymore.
Yeah,
so like, yeah, I'm just curious to hear something.
Yeah, that was her name is Shannon. She's in my Keto Camp Academy, right? Yeah. She's had type 2 diabetes, and she's been taking insulin, which is a common thing to take on type 2 diabetes, and she enrolled into my Keto Camp Academy, and just a few months into it, her doctor says she no longer needs to take this insulin. She no longer has to rely on it because now her pancreas can now produce the insulin the way it is designed to be. Mm-hmm. But when you go to the American Diabetes Association website, they will tell you on the website to this day that diabetes is a progressive chronic disease that cannot be reversed, but we can manage it for, you know, a healthy life, right? But I've seen time after time it be reversed, type 2 diabetes, and she's a perfect example of that. Reversed.
That's
completely.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because so you're saying the typical doctor would say that it there's no reversing it. You just have to live with this now, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, that's nuts. And then what else? What other, like, things have people come to you with that you've been able to reverse?
Yeah, do you know who the Los Pitchy Boys are? Or are they El Pitchy Boys? Los Pitchy Boys? Los Pitchy Boys. They're very popular here in Miami. They got over a million Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
But they're very popular on the Hispanic, Spanish scene, the Cuban scene. So I'm friends with Alex Alejandro, and a few years ago he texted me. He's like, dude, they record a lot of content just like you do. And he's like, dude, I had to go home and take a nap. My migraines were so bad. So he said, what should I do? So I gave him a protocol, you know, do some keto, do some fasting, take these supplements. And he was taking medication for his blood pressure. Within 30 days, he got off all his blood pressure medications, no longer had migraines, and he was able to record content, right, on a consistent basis, right? Because that's a perfect example. You remove the interference, the body heals. But the thing is, we have to identify what's the interference, and that's where I come into play and teach them. And then we remove the interference, and the body will begin to heal. Mm-hmm. But there's so many stories I could share like this with you.
Yeah.
Medication, blood pressure, diabetes, even things like cancer, right, that begin to go into regression because the body begins to heal.
What is the most, like, or maybe it's a few things, what are the most common thing, interferences, like the causes of, I believe I've seen on your Instagram, the number one cause of cancer is inflammation, right?
Inflammation,
or something like that.
Inflammation is linked to just about
everything.
Every single disease.
So inflammation is the, like, core problem.
Yeah, cellular inflammation.
Yeah,
so, you know, here's something that's underrated. I interviewed Dr. Erin Keneally, who's an oncologist from California. And she said, well, cancer is multifactorial. There's not one thing.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest things is actually thoughts. Toxic thoughts can actually create disease. And Bruce Lipton has proved this. The average human thinks about 60,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot of damn thoughts, right?
Yeah.
90% of those thoughts are usually the same thoughts from yesterday. And they're usually negative thoughts. They're our current paradigm, our conditioning. And toxic thoughts actually create inflammation in the body. Trapped emotions, being negative all day long, watching CNN, can create disease in the body. So the first thing is identify that interference and start thinking better thoughts. I believe that what we think about and what we think about, gratitude, what we think about, we bring about.
Mm.
So if we could get into the habit of choosing better thoughts, this is what saved my life, man. I used to think toxic thoughts all day long. And when a negative thought starts to pass, just say thank you and let it pass, and then choose a better thought. And if we can have that awareness, so when I'm walking my dog in Bay Harbor, dude, I'm saying affirmations. I'm saying I love myself. I'm saying my goals in my head. I'm saying positive thoughts because I want to control those 60,000 thoughts, and we have control over that. So just by choosing better thoughts and having some sort of gratitude, I have notebooks that are like full of gratitude and goals. I have maybe 20 notebooks full of gratitude and goals every night before bed, and every morning when I wake up, I write my goals, I write my gratitude, what I'm grateful for, and I haven't missed one single day in over 4 years.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So, dude, just doing that on a consistent basis right there will make everything work better. The keto, the fasting, the supplements, controlling those thoughts.
Who are some of your biggest mentors, like, from that, I guess, personal development field? I think I've seen you quote, like, Les Brown a lot. Mm-hmm. So who do you study pretty closely?
Tyler Wagner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, we're clipping that.
Yeah.
We're going to run that as an ad.
Les Brown, for sure. Yeah. The biggest one is probably Bob Proctor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen you post
a lot. I love Bobby P, I call him. Okay. I think he's the Michael Jordan of prosperity teaching. Mm-hmm. Get a lot from him. Tony Robbins, of course. Earl Nightingale. Every morning as I make coffee, I have a coffee hack for you if you wanted to.
Yeah,
but every morning I make coffee.
Yeah,
I listen to Earl Nightingale as I make my coffee.
Okay, yeah, give us the coffee hack, and then I'm going to go down.
Okay, I just did a video on my YouTube channel, 3 coffee tips that you've never heard before. So I'll just give you all 3 right now. Okay. Number one, there is the best time to have your cup of coffee. And that's going to be, first let me say the worst time to have your cup of coffee.
I know what it is. I know.
Right when you wake up in the morning.
Wait, let's talk about this real quick. Because I find I can't like go to the bathroom in the morning without the coffee.
You can't poop, you mean?
Yeah. I can't poop. Yeah. I can, but it probably happened later. And because I do cardio, I want to get it out before, because it helps. It just like it relieves.
Well, taking some magnesium and potassium will help.
Okay, gotcha. So maybe so I should try. Okay.
Coffee can help too, but then you want to you want to wait. So okay.
Yeah, because that's the only reason. When I wake up, I'm actually not like tired really. Like
but that's
I.
You want to get things going.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Well, the reason we don't want to have coffee first thing in the morning is because when we wake up, cortisol, which is that stress hormone, is activated at the highest point in the morning. Cortisol is much more powerful than caffeine. So when you have coffee with caffeine, even tea, when the cortisol is up, cortisol will overpower the caffeine, and you won't get much benefits from that caffeine. It'll actually lead you to wanting more coffee, a second, a third, a fourth cup, 5-ever energy, whatever it is, kind of pick me up. But when you wait an hour and a half after waking up, 90 minutes, that's the hack right there, cortisol begins to peak down, then you have your coffee, your caffeine, and it gives you much more sustainable energy. So you don't need additional coffee. So I wait an hour and a half after waking up to have my cup of coffee. And then I put in some salt, some sea salt, because coffee makes you go pee more, right? It naturally makes you urinate more, and you lose electrolytes, which is not good, especially when you're in keto. You already lose electrolytes, so I always put some coffee in my salt. Yeah, that would be disgusting. And then I put some healthy fats, which help the absorption of the caffeine, and it helps with cognitive behavior. So I put some ghee, and I put some brain octane oil with my coffee, and I blend it all together.
Nice. Okay.
I think I've had 5 cups of coffee today.
Really? Well, you only had 1 hour of sleep.
I know. Dude. I wanted to ask you too about sleep, because we were talking about that before.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We got to talk about sleep.
Let's talk about sleep. Before we finish, yeah. So like, I guess how important is sleep? Is it really important?
Do we
need it? Because I'm trying to live more, man.
I know. I wish we didn't need it, right?
Eight hours. What part of my life is this shit?
Well, let's ask you. How do you feel on 1 hour of sleep?
Not good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very funny.
Yeah. You're gonna soon turn into a crazy. You're gonna start to hallucinate soon. He's gonna be walking over here looking at things.
Yeah.
Sleep is the Swiss Army knife of health. Mm-hmm. It is the foundation of health. You could do keto perfectly, fasting perfectly, exercise perfectly, but if you don't have your sleep optimized, none of that will work. So, if you want to age fast, sacrifice sleep. A lot of people used to say, or they still do in the entrepreneur space, I'll sleep when I'm dead, right? You know, sleep is for the weak. That's a bad mindset. I used to say it too, man. But, you know, you could be more productive in a short amount of time with sleep, because your body, during stage 4 sleep, your brain literally shrinks in size, your brain. And then you have this fluid that flushes over your brain called the glymphatic system, and it flushes out toxins. It activates your fat-burning hormones, and then it helps you wake up refreshed, ready to crush the day. But if you're not getting adequate amounts of stage 4 sleep, stage 3 sleep, Matthew Walker talks about it all the time, you're not going to function properly. You're not going to burn fat. You're not going to feel good. You're not going to be productive. You're not going to remember people's names. You're not going to have a great podcast. You're just going to be dysfunctional. Yeah. So sleep is so important. 7 to 9 hours, I would say, of quality sleep is a good thing to do. Your audience is probably thinking, how do you get better sleep? I'm going to give a couple of
tips. One thing, because I just don't want to forget. I heard something about, like, you should sleep in cycles of an hour and a half. So, like, if you, it's better to get 6 hours than 6.5, because that 30 minutes, you're, like, in between REM cycles or something.
Yeah.
Is that true, or is this a myth?
No, it's true.
So oh,
you,
really?
Yeah,
okay.
So you want to get about 5 sleep cycles per night. Every sleep cycle is about an hour and a half, 90 minutes.
Okay.
So what happens when those people who wake up feeling groggy, even on 8 hours, they wake up when they've hit the stage 4 of a cycle, the end of the cycle, right? So you don't want to do that. You want to time it when you're finishing up that stage 4. So at the end of that fifth 90-minute cycle, you want to, if you go back to stage 2 and then stage 3, that's when you want to wake up. So you can time that by setting an alarm and kind of figuring it out.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not a myth. It's true.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So to fall asleep, like, what do you, what was I doing? I actually read this article on Tim Ferriss's blog. And this does work for me. It's like hot water with apple cider vinegar and organic honey, and you mix it all up, and it actually does kind of almost feel, I don't know what a tranquilizer feels like, but if I were to guess, something like that. And it, like, knocked me out, and then, but the only thing, it doesn't, it puts me to sleep, but it doesn't keep me asleep long. Mm. So I've heard CBD, I have used CBD, and that does help kind of extend it. But I guess for people that are having trouble falling asleep, what would you recommend?
Yeah, there's something called banana tea. Have you heard of that?
I think it's triggering a memory.
Yeah.
I think from you.
Have you heard of it?
I have not, no.
So I got this from Michael Bruce, who's a colleague of mine, America's Sleep Doctor. And he formulated this. I guess he made it popular, I should say. So it's you grab a whole banana and you leave the peel on that banana. The peel of the banana has more micronutrients, more potassium, more magnesium than the actual banana itself. So you boil it with the peel on, make sure it's organic, and you want the peel to turn brown. So you wait until it turns brown. Then you just pour that water into a cup, and that's your banana tea. It's like nature's NyQuil, helps you feel relaxed. You could throw in some reishi mushroom in there or some chamomile tea as well. But you're not gonna actually eat the banana, you're just gonna drink the banana tea.
Yeah, so wait, and literally it feels like NyQuil?
It's like a natural nature's NyQuil. Yeah.
Wow. Because NyQuil works, but that's not like a long term.
For many people, it feels that way. For some people, they don't notice anything, right? So if you don't notice anything, there's some other things you can do. CBD oil is great, you know, from a good brand.
Yeah.
Reishi mushroom extract, like Four Sigmatic makes a good reishi mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a hot shower an hour before bed also helps.
Yeah.
And then putting your, the studies show a cold bedroom, 62 to 67 degrees Fahrenheit. Is the sweet spot? Is that what you?
Oh god, I need to put it even lower.
Oh really?
Yeah, I put it at 67, and I'm still hot. So like, well, no, because everybody that, even if they stay over, they're always like, dude, you always keep this so freaking like cold, and I'm like, dude, because I sweat, like it needs to be freezing. So
yeah,
62. I
put mine on 62 every night.
We're going lower, guys.
Yeah. The studies show you get the most delta sleep, that stage 4 sleep, when you have 62 to 67 degrees, somewhere between there.
Okay. Gotcha, yeah, we're going lower.
And then the last thing is to make sure your bedroom is dark. You know, you don't want lights like this in your bedroom because it activates cortisol, and cortisol is the opposite of melatonin. They have an inverted relationship. So you can wear a face mask or have blackout curtains, but the darker, the better.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the opposite real quick, energy. What would you, if somebody is having, like, has very low energy, what are some good, like, natural, well, caffeine obviously is good, but, like, do you recommend any other things?
Well, if we're talking about the afternoon slump that a lot of people get, there's two things you can do.
Okay,
Number one, you could take a nap. You could take a 20-minute nap to help recharge you and help you crush the rest of your day. That's been very effective.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say somebody is, you know, has a corporate job and they don't want to nap underneath their desk like George Costanza.
Yeah.
the next thing you can do is just go outside and get some sun. Because the body, between 1 and 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the body's core temperature naturally begins to drop a little bit, and it activates melatonin, leading to that feeling of drowsiness.
Okay.
But when you go outside and get sun through your eyes and your skin, even if it's overcast day, it stops that production of melatonin, activates cortisol, and can help recharge you for the rest of the day. So 20 minutes of sun would help.
And what's your typical fasting schedule? Because what I find is I get that slump, I think. It's like right after I eat lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, so if I eat at, like, and maybe it's just normal to have that afternoon slump, but I find if I eat, like, a very big breakfast and I don't eat throughout the whole day, and then I'll eat at dinner, so just two meals, but it's still not a full fast. Like, I think in total, if I eat at breakfast 10 a.m., it's like 10 hours I don't eat. Like, I have very good energy throughout the day, but that lunch always just knocks me out.
Depends on maybe what you're having at lunch.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, if it's Pura like, Vida, probably.
Yeah.
I eat Pura Vida way too
oh,
much.
Do you?
Yeah, they need to sponsor us. For
yeah,
real.
They do. They're opening one up in our neighborhood. Did you see that? Pura Vida?
Really?
Yeah, the corner there.
Dude, I eat it like once or twice a day. It's bad. It's an addiction.
That's how I am. That's how I am for juice and Java. Yeah, you know, if you have more carbs,
okay.
Even if it's healthy, like fruit, right? You're going to create a glucose response and an insulin response, mm-hmm. which you might feel energized at first. You might feel good after you have that meal. And then what happens is that drops, and then you feel that drowsiness, that tiredness. So having more protein and fat, less carbs at lunch should make a big difference for your energy levels. But if
okay.
you feel better having breakfast, skipping lunch, then that routine should work for you. I'm
okay.
good with that.
Yeah, yeah. I still feel hungry. Like, I'm like, I want
oh, you
eat.
Do?
What about quinoa? You fan of it? Because that's what comes in this bowl I get all the time. So
quinoa is it's not keto friendly, but
okay.
I'm not keto all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But so I'll have quinoa from time to time, but
gotcha.
For some people it could be harder to digest, and
yeah.
if it's hard to digest, that could lead to feeling tired.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't have quinoa every day.
Okay,
or
yeah, I have been. Okay,
yeah.
good to know. Okay,
yeah. More protein and fat.
I have it like twice a day sometimes.
That could be it.
Yeah.
Something digest.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might be what's going
on.
Yeah.
So
okay.
have more protein and fat. You can't go wrong with that.
Protein and fat.
And maybe have some digestive enzymes too to help you digest that food.
Okay. Also. And what are those or where do I get those?
You can get it on Amazon.
Okay.
I like Systemic Formulas makes a good one. Thorn makes a good one. They just have
okay.
enzymes in it. Whole Foods has it. You can go to Whole
oh,
Foods.
Oh, wait. That's what you take, right? Digestive
right.
enzymes.
Yeah.
I
used to take,
or something?
Yeah,
papaya.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then you want other ones that help break down protein and fat.
Okay.
Oh, there's actually a company that I use. I don't know if I'm okay with sharing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bioptimizers makes a great digestive enzyme. They make one specifically for keto called K-Pax. And then one that's just a general one called Masszyme. So it's bioptimizers.com. And I have a code with them, KetoCamp, at checkout.
Oh, perfect. Oh, yeah, yeah.
One.
Yeah, you get discounts on a bunch of stuff. So
I do.
Definitely
I was with Shay Robot, who just
yeah, yeah.
at dinner two nights ago. And she was saying, oh, man, when I buy stuff, like when I'm buying supplements and I'm buying health stuff, and there's like a coupon code. It's like, I just put in Keto Camp just as a guess, just to see if it works. She goes, you know, most of the time it works. That's
yeah.
awesome. Right, so there you go. Just try it out.
So look, man, I appreciate you coming on. I want to leave it to you. If there's anything else you want to share, like the world is wild right now. So
yeah.
If there's anything else you want to share that we didn't cover, please do. And then please tell us, because everybody needs it, like even more so now, like website, your socials, where can people stay in contact with you?
This has been a lot of fun. You guys are great, great hosts. So thank you for the yeah. hospitality. Y'all are rocking it, man. I can't wait to get this out to the world. So thank you all for the whole production here. The final words is that faith and fear both demand for you to believe in something that you cannot see, mm-hmm. and it's your choice. So you could fall into fear, which could mean two things. Face everything and run. You probably heard that. Or face everything and rise. Or you could fall into the philosophy of faith. Again, you can't see any of these things. You got to believe in something you can't see here. But faith, to me, my definition of faith is finding answers in the heart. So when we surround ourselves with people who are chargers, who are choosing faith, who are entrepreneurs, who are rock stars, who are not talking about, you know, how shitty this year has been, but how amazing this year, all the blessings that have come about, we're going to be more likely to have that mindset. But when mm-hmm. we surround ourselves with people who are watching the news, saying this is such a shitty year, you know, what's going to happen next, we're going to follow through with that mindset because we become our environment.
100%.
So if we could control our environment and get friends that are healthier, friends that are, you know, and I say healthy both mentally and physically, who make better decisions, by default, we're going to start making better decisions. So my advice is to just do an audit on your environment and start mm-hmm. cutting people out who don't fit the criteria of the life you want to lead. I did it, I'm sure you did it, and it's very tough because it could be family members. And I'm not saying to get rid of them, I'm just saying you see them less and you spend less time when you do see them. But my words to leave off is just choose faith. You know, what does choosing fear get you? It doesn't get you anything but poor health and poor results. There's a universal law that says whatever you feed energy to expands. So let's feed energy to what we want to work for us. Even if you don't believe that universal law, that's what's happening. If you don't believe in gravity, but we jumped off this building, gravity's gonna take over. This universal law is the same thing. So feed your mind, your energy to the things you want to expand. For me, this has been the best year of my life. My business has grown the most. I've reached more lives. I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I learn every single day. It's been an incredible year. And everything that has been negative in this year for me, I know that a positive thing has opened up, which is a universal law. A door closes, another door opens up. So if you've resonated with my work and you want to check me out, my podcast, the Keto Camp Podcast, is a great resource. And then my YouTube channel, which is my biggest platform, it's Keto Camp, Camp with a K on YouTube.
Beautiful, brother. Thank you, man.
Thank
you. This was awesome.
You're awesome. Appreciate you.
Unite show is sponsored by AuthorsUnite.com, your one-stop shop for becoming a profitable author and maximizing your impact.